Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 9. Let's read through these 23 verses. Oh, it should say 1 Corinthians 9 on your screen. Got to get with my secretary. And care and understanding of a preacher. I could not figure out what a good title was for this. And so I promise you I'm not preaching this for me. For those that you all know this, I just go verse by verse through the Bible. And look at verse 15. I'll just show you verse 15. So this is my spirit as I preach this. And it was the spirit of Paul being moved by God to write this. He says, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done unto me. For better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." We'll talk about that. But Paul wasn't writing this for his benefit. He was writing this to instruct this young church how they could take care of preachers, understand preachers, and be kind to preachers. And there is no complaint from my end. I don't have the stories that others have. But I preach the next verse, and I think this is important. This is important for you as as we consider, a preacher in the future, 10, 15, it's not going to be 15 years probably, but 10 years from now, you should know who, 7 years from now, I'm thinking you should know who your next preacher is going to be. It might be 10 years from now. Watch, I don't want to hold on longer, but we're going to go through these processes, and we're going to be excited about it. It's going to be good, and you're going to need to understand these principles so that you can have a delighted family that feels loved. I feel loved. There's no issues, but it's easier. It's easier when you're the founding pastor, preacher, I think it's easier. Can you imagine me going to an established church? Fee, fi, fo, fum. Years and years ago, somebody made that approach to me. And here's what I said. I said, I will kill more than I will create. And I said, that's not the job of a preacher. I said, your church is a good church. But I would change so much, your people would hate me. And I said, but I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying it would be different if I was there, but it's good. You know, I love the independence of churches, And everybody doesn't have to do it the way we do it, but And one day when there's a new preacher here, he doesn't have to do it the way I do it, and just love him and don't. You know what? You want a guy and a family that loves the Lord, loves his word, loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves souls, and just loves the Bible. And they don't have to do it the way I do it. They don't have to do it the way I do it. That's super important. I mean, we have so many young believers, that I've heard this before. I'm being recorded, aren't I? I'm rambling too early. I wish I wasn't being recorded with all this. So young believers, and they'll come back from vacation and go, it's okay, they're allowed to do it that way. It doesn't have to be done this way. Let's read these 23 verses that I'll cover tonight, Lord willing. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Now, Paul is going to defend his apostleship, but I'm going to apply this to preachers, because I want you to know this, there are no apostles today. And so that's not me trying to claim apostleship, but I'm just going to use this as a springboard, because I think the same would apply to preachers. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Because he was being questioned. Am I not free? And the word free there, let me just read this and then I'll walk through. Okay, let me start all over. No commentary. I've just determined to let you see it and then I'm going to walk through. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me in this, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? The answer is yes. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Well, it's for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation or a stewardship, that's just another, translated stewardship half the time and dispensation half the time. So let's read 17 again. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul's just kind of being, he's obviously, this is what God's eternal word is, and he's using this apostle to just kind of pour his heart out. You know, we can forget at times when we're reading the Bible, this is God's eternal holy word, because I feel this, at least. I feel as though Paul is just writing from his heart, and I think he is. But his heart was moved in such a way that it was the very words of God. Well, let's just walk through this tonight, through these scriptures. Verses 1 through 3 is Paul's defense of his apostleship. And so, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? And I've read some commentaries, and I totally disagree with this. And so you don't have to agree with me, but you're allowed to be wrong. But it's suggested that the apostles were not under the authority of anyone, that people were under the authority of the apostles. I totally disagree with that. Paul was under the authority of the church at Antioch. He was sent out of the church at Antioch. Now, apostles were given special blessings, special gift, special power from God. They saw the risen Christ. They walked with the risen Christ, and they were blessed in a great way. But I want to help you understand this. I am so convinced that even the men that wrote God's word didn't have authority. They just were used of God. And Paul even says that later when he says that about the gospel. So I think what he means here, so he says, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? It's referring back. Remember, this is a letter. I think it's referring back to chapter 8, which was talking about, look at verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. He is free in Christ as they are free in Christ. In context, that's what it means. We can have a discussion. I want us to love the Word of God. I want us to be challenged. But I will fight that men don't have authority. God does. And His churches do. His churches don't through a man. It's collectively through a body. And that's my particular bent. So when I read things like that, I want to make sure you're not reading things like that. And if you are, meh, not good. It just, where does the Bible say that? It doesn't. And so I also tell you this, that there are no more apostles. This is just an obvious, easy statement. Nobody does what the apostles did in the first century. It's enough said. And so the Bible doesn't so overwhelmingly and clearly state what the criteria was for an apostle, though it does appear in chapter 9 that one of the criteria was that you saw the risen Christ physically. And I think Paul did. He's claiming that. I think we see that in Galatians 1. But let me tell you why I'm 100%, without a doubt, no apostles today, because they aren't doing what the apostles did in the first century. They aren't healing the lame, making the blind to see, the deaf to hear, raising the dead. Nobody's doing that today. You get your phony baloney healers out there. And so they're not legit. They're fakes. They don't ever go to the wheelchair sections. The apostles did. And so the apostles had great ability. The apostles had ability to lay hands on people, and they could speak languages they had never, ever studied before. That's what tongues were. Tongues wasn't some gibberish. We're going to get there in 1 Corinthians 14. You're going to be blown away when we get to 1 Corinthians 14. The lie that has been sold to people today about tongues. The word tongues just means language. An unknown tongue is an unknown language. Not to everybody. But if I'm speaking German and I don't know it, or I'm speaking German and you don't know German, that's an unknown tongue to you. So we're going to have a good time with that. But there were 12 apostles, really 11. You know, Judas, he was an apostle. He did have some power and authority. So Judas, Matthias, and Paul. And then we'll even look at the verse that some people try to say, well, he's claiming that Barnabas is an apostle. Not at all. So I'll disagree with that as well later. But let's just walk through this. Am I not? So here's the thing. Let me just tell you this, his defense. It is, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 in a little bit that says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father as well. But it's in the same context about not muzzling an ox. It is this. It is... the church at Corinth was so, they were such babies in Christ that they were listening to others. When Paul had demonstrated his love, his power, his authority, when he was with them, and we've got to be careful. We are so susceptible. And this isn't for me. Remember, I'm preaching this because it's the next verse, but I'm preaching this so that you're not involved in some kind of coup against a preacher. All you guys have to do is tell me, say, Pastor, we think you should hang up your shoes. And if that's the consensus of the church, I will delight in that. You won't hurt my feelings. None of that. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. This is not reverse psychology, okay? This is not at all. Not at all. But, you know, let's just have a conversation. But this is rare. That's never. You guys have been, you've been loving and kind, and I'm a difficult guy. I'm not trying to be a difficult guy. I'm just good at it. But it's, you guys have been loving and kind to me beyond description. When I talk to other preachers, they just make me like so thankful. I don't want them to come and visit because then they'll try to take over. It is, I'm just kidding. It's a good thing. My point is this. You get another preacher, 10 years or so, whatever the timing is. It is, be kind. Don't become backbiters and gossipers and running him down, running his wife down, all those kind of things. You'll get rid of a preacher fast. And you don't want to do that. The apostle Paul, this church, they're questioning his apostleship. Look at this. Am I not an apostle? Verse 1. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? I'm convinced that is a strong indication that it's one criteria to be an apostle. You have to see the physical risen Christ. Nobody today has seen the physical risen Christ. All they can say, they have a vision. It's not about a vision. It's about seeing the physical risen Christ. He says, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? And so now he's beginning to tell them, guys, just remember the work that was done. If I be not an apostle unto others. An apostle just means messenger, delegate, you know, one that, just a communicator. He says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. you look at your life and it demonstrates that I was who I said I was. And then verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. He says, have we not power to eat or to drink? And to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife? I think those are just using the same term interchangeably, because that was a common use. They would call a wife a sister. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? And so, ways of a preacher, I just tell you this, make sure this. They live like regular people. If you guys, I feel like I'm more regular than most preachers I know. I'm just, and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. I'm just Steve. I'm not trying to be something. I'm not trying to be anything. I feel this compulsion that we'll talk about at the end of this chapter. I feel the, and it's a good thing. I'm going to explain it. It's going to be cool, you know, but Paul says this, look at verse, have we not power to eat or drink? They were questioning every single thing about him. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? It's like this, you guys are acting like we aren't normal people. We're just regular people. Given a job by God, and by God's grace, if we're equipped by God, that doesn't make us any more special than anybody that we're preaching to. It makes us more accountable. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to do what he has equipped you to do, but we're just like regular people. That's, I think, what he's saying there. And then the second thing I'm just going to highlight, and we're going to walk through each of these verses. The intent is that preachers live by the gospel. Now, I feel much like Paul does here. I talked about this a few weeks ago because I think he's helping the church at Corinth understand that when they need to be taken care of God's men. And you do as well. Now, I wish I could take nothing from our church, right? First 6 years, I went without a salary, right? Which is, God enabled us to do that, right? And so, it is this, but the intent of God is that preachers preach the gospel and live by the gospel, that God's people take care of preachers, and you do. You've done everything I've asked, and you would do anything that I would ask. That's not a power trip, because you love me. And I wouldn't want you just to do it blindly. You do it thoughtfully, and you do it with care of the scriptures and all of that. So this is not me preaching. There's no subliminal message here. You follow me? I'm just preaching this message. He says this. So he says this, verse 6. Or I only in Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Paul was a tent maker. He had not taken money from Corinth, but it sounds like there must have been word that he did take money from other churches so that he might make fewer tents and be able to be more focused on the gospel. And he says, verse 6, or I only in Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? And now he begins to give all these, who goeth to war any time at his own charges? Nobody. Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Nobody. Who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? Nobody. Say I these things as a man? Am I just saying these things to manipulate you to get your money? And he says, I wouldn't take it anyway. He says, say I these things as a man? He says, or saith not the law the same also? So he's calling back the law. Remember, the Old Testament's called the Law and the Prophets, right? So when you think of the law, we'd be talking about the first five books of the Old Testament. But he says, doesn't the law say the same thing? And then he refers to this. Look at verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Yes. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Yes, he does take care of the oxen, but he gave us that instruction not because of the ox, because of our stubbornness. He says, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. All the T's are together. It's to the right. And Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 17. Again, I'm trying to just give you context, and Paul brings up that it would be wrong to muzzle the ox that treads the corn. So what would happen when the ox is treading the corn is corn would spill over, corn would bleed out, and the ox would, he would eat the corn. And so you want efficiency, the farmers would be, muzzle the ox. So he just cranks the corn out, crushes the corn, turns it into meal. And the Bible says, he says that thou shalt not muzzle the ox, the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. He is doing the work. Let him benefit from some of his labor. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, that the tell them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, one before another. Do nothing by partiality. And then it's so good, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Now, just going back to this, it talks about this. So in the context, when it says, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, it's talking about pay. It doesn't mean you should. But here, I'm going to tell you, it's take care of them. Again, you take care of me. This would be, I don't know how preachers could preach this if they were like, you know, I got bald tires on my car. And, you know, it is, I've known situations like that, right? But it's this. You should, now, here's the balance. This is such a balance. You should try to pay a preacher too much. And at the same time, the preacher should say, no way. That's a good preacher. And you should push back and say, no, we're going to. And he should say, not at all. You don't want a man that is after filthy lucre. You follow me? There's this balance. We as a church, we need to be a blessing to the family that God would use to lead us, to help us, to guide us. Because we need a lot of help, do we not? I need a lot of help. And so he says this, look at verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his hire. It is, we as churches, we should be kind. I've heard it said before, well, he chose that profession, not according to this scripture here. You're going to see this scripture here. When a man is truly a preacher, and so look, just to tell you this is how flaky I am. I probably shouldn't say this publicly. I may get in heaven and God go, you know, I never intended you to preach. I'll be like, oh God, you're so good. Thank you for making it. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. And so God's so good that he'll work all things together for good. I don't want to do it to dishonor him, but I don't know how you'd tell. You know, he's going to work it all out for good. Now be, you know, it's like, it's kind of crazy thought that I have. But it is take care of your, now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at this. And again, they are, the desire of God would be that they live by the gospel, they preach the gospel, that they're just gospel centric. My heart goes out to men that cannot be totally and wholly dedicated. But I also know this. History is that most preachers of our ilk were bivocational. And so it's but I wonder, were they bivocational because people were stingy? I don't know. I think if God's people gave, all would be well. And I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, but I just, you know, so I see history. So while my heart goes out to preachers, and I'm so thankful that all I get to do, I tell people this all the time in Bible study, all I get to do is teach the Bible. Yeah, there's other things, but it's the heart of the gospel. So look at verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9. For it is written in the law, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Again, what I would tell you is this. You want a man that can serve the Lord and not worry about how he's going to pay the bills. You want a man that, you know, when he has a surprise, and maybe he's not the best financial manager. Let me just tell you, most preachers don't have a finance background, okay? Most preachers I met, it's like, whoa, man, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard financially, right? And so you guys can be super critical with preachers about that. Don't. You got an honest man, he's probably not great with money. You can be critical about that. Don't. Love him. You could say, well, you should have planned better. Get him a new set of tires. You know, I don't know. But it's this. It is, don't take his hope away, because he's always worried about what he should not worry about. You know what you need to focus on? The gospel. You don't need to focus on the Lord. You want him to focus on feeding the flock. That's what you want him focused on. Right? So it is, Anyway, let's keep going. Verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Again, Paul is speaking to them. It's we're sowing unto you spiritual things. Be generous. Be kind. Again, I hope it's the last time I say it today. I'm not preaching because you guys need to take better care of me. You don't. But I just want you to know these scriptures. You ought to make sure, you ought to be super sensitive for the next preacher, that you are taking care of him, you are taking care of his family, and they're probably not going to be good financial managers. That's my experience, right? Because a lot of them, anyway, I won't, just verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? And so here, look at verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? So it looks as though they understood this concept with others. But yet they had this thing against Paul and against Barnabas. There was jealousy, and people would sow seeds of discord and ill will. Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. Paul had not taken money then. We didn't use this power, but suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul goes back to the principle that he laid out in chapter 8. Now, they didn't have it in chapter 8, right? It was just their letter that said this. If it will cause you to stumble, I won't eat meat. You know what he's saying in chapter 9? If me taking money from you will cause the gospel of Christ to suffer, I won't take a dime from you. That's the kind of preacher you want, right? Though, I think the church at Corinth should have helped Paul, because look at this. Let's just read verse 12 again. If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? It kind of hurt Paul. He loved these people. He gave he spent more time at Corinth maybe than any other church. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things. We've suffered because we've struggled financially. I think that's what he's talking about. But we suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. We do not want to be a stumbling block for the gospel of Christ. Let's just set aside preachers. That's what we should do in everything. Is my behavior, are my choices, what I'm doing, where I'm going, how I'm talking, how I'm behaving, is that hindering the gospel of Christ? Am I causing a distraction to the gospel of Christ? Paul said, you know what? I'd rather suffer all things than be a hindrance to the gospel. Look at verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things... Now he's referring back to the Old Testament. Let's just... Verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? The priests ate of the offerings. So he said, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? They would partake of the giving of the sacrifices from the people per God's instruction that we'll get to a little bit in Exodus, not so much, but we'll talk about the altar, but we'll talk about it more in Leviticus. But verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordered, that they which preach of the gospel should live of the gospel. Verse 15, now verse 15 is interesting, there's debate, I'll give you my perspective on it. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that I should, that it should be done so unto me. So he said, I'm giving you good instruction, but this isn't about me. Paul says this, for it were better for me to die. I think what he's saying, I would rather die than take money from you. I think that's the context, you guys, we can talk about it. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Here's the one thing that when Paul talks about glorying, and I don't think it's talking about pride. If it's pride, it's sin. So I'm going to give Paul the benefit of the doubt here that under the inspiration of God, he's not talking about sin. But here's one thing that Paul was able to say, and he wanted to say this. Paul was criticized and vilified and attacked. Why? Because the devil wanted to minimize his impact, his effect. And so everywhere Paul went, he was run down the road. And he said, I would rather die than take money from you. He says this, it's the one thing I got. When the false preachers attack me, I'll be like, how much money have you taken from them? When the false prophets start running him down the road, he can say, I've never taken a dime. What about you? You know, got to be careful that you don't say that pridefully, but I think that's what he's dealing with. Now let's read verse 15 again. You don't have to agree with me, but I think that's what he's saying. But I have used none of these things, this whole thing that I've walked you through, but I've used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. I'm not telling you this so that you then all of a sudden write a check out. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. Now, then we're going to go into this, the priority of the preacher. And I'm just preaching the gospel. Now, let's look at verse 16 and 17. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, let's read verse 17. Verse 17 might throw you for a loop here. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. Let's read verse 17 again. So verse 16, let's read that. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Let's just walk through. It is... I love being a pastor. I never wanted to be a pastor. I hope I don't love it for any other reason, though. You know, I told you I might get in heaven and find out God didn't want me to be a preacher. But I love the work. But I want you to understand this. Let's just, for giggle's sake, say God did want me to be a preacher. It has nothing to do with me. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. If it were of me and my ability and my umsva, and my whatever you don't want to call it, then I could glory of that. But I want to tell you this. Every preacher that's a preacher of God, they have nothing to glory of. It's either of God or it's of man. And if it's of man, they have their reward. And so I'm worried. I'm super worried. I know. I don't really talk to preachers about this, right? Because I'm a podunk and I don't really want to ask him and find out, oh no, you've never thought that. Well, me neither. You know, but it's like, follow me through this. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid on me. It's not like I chose this. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me. I don't know if I feel that desperate. I just remember... I thought I was going crazy, right? Now, I think I told you this. When Deb and I, our first date, I was just burdened. I was 19, she was 16, and I wanted to marry her a month later, but she had to finish high school, so bummer. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. But I didn't ask her to marry me until her last day of high school. So Our first date, I was, and so I wonder sometimes, we talked about, where's Deb at? She's back there. Remember we talked about, it's just so crazy about whether, you know, the burden to pastor, the burden to preach, and I was already in college, right? I was already in college and studying for accounting, and we talked about it a lot. I concluded that God didn't want me to pastor. I'm at peace with that today. I didn't have this necessity, this woe. When I was 46 years old, that's why I thought I was going crazy. You understand this? It's like I can't find 46-year-olds in the Bible where God's like, okay, Moses was 80, right? But okay, fine. But it is, you know, it's like I do think it's a young man's. It's God's given me a lot of energy. So I thought I was going nuts. You got to understand this, Joel. I had already answered that question. Got life figured out. At least on that item, you know, I'm done. Done. Next. And then at 46, I'm like, I wanted to be part of a church plant. And the preacher said, are you called to preach? I said, absolutely not. He said, well, then how can we plant a church without a preacher? I said, well, I think God's a big enough God. He can find us a preacher. What do you think? I think we ought to pray about it. And so I started praying about it. You know, and my whole job, my whole life was problem solving. Problem solving. That's all. I was a problem solver. They'd send me in, they'd say, this is a mess. Financially, fix it. And that was my job to fix it. So, you know, I thought, oh, God wants me to pastor. And I'm like, no way. You're just solving the problem. You're just solving the problem. Well, Deb and I talk about everything, but we didn't talk about this. You've heard, maybe some of you heard this testimony before. And it was about a month. Maybe a little bit more. And when I'm troubled, I sleep. Okay, so when I'm troubled, I sleep. It's like, it's a gift. When you're troubled, you're like, I can't sleep. I can't. And I just escape the world. I just escape the world. I'm like, I'm going to bed. And I couldn't sleep. And so, you know, I looked a wreck, I guess. And here I was, you know, 46 years old, and people say, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. Bite their head off, right? And just leave me alone. I'm tired. I'm upset. I can't talk to my wife about this. And I'm going nuts. And I couldn't escape it. I couldn't escape it. I was, I remember Deb thought I had been unfaithful to her or something, right? No, you didn't. Okay, I thought, okay, I've never asked her this. So now I find out from the pulpit she didn't. But I was dead serious, and I said, I need to talk to you. You knew I was serious, right? But you didn't think it was anything terrible. I thought, we've never talked about this. Okay, here I am. We're figuring this out right now. And so, but the way her face looked, right? So obviously I read her face wrong, and so, but hopefully I read it right now. So it's, but I was terrified to talk to her about it. I wouldn't be a pastor today if because I told her I was almost like wanting her to go. No way. I'd be like, oh, I knew it. And so I said, hey, you know, this is so not me. You guys are like, you weren't like that. Wasn't I like different? I was okay. Maybe she's like, no, you weren't. You're like, hey, I'm telling you what, I'm gonna preach. No, I wasn't. I was just, hey, you know, I think God might want me to pastor. What do you think about that? And she pulled a Ruth. She goes, you know, if that's what God wants, I'm all in. And then I think I've said this before from the pulpit. I was like, has he been working on your heart at all? And she goes, no, not at all. I'm like, oh, okay, not at all. It would have been so good for me if she said, I've been burdened as well. I've heard about these stories, right? Both husband and wife, when they come together, they're like, ah. And she threw me under the bus. But it is... And I will tell you, it feels a bit surreal that I'm a pastor today. And, you know, I God will get you. And he'll get you where he wants you to get. And so I tell people this all the time. You know, guys have come up to me and they say, I'm called to preach. And I'll say, no, you're not. You'll be like, what right do you have to say that? I'll say, he might. But don't worry about that burden you had when you were a teenager. If it went away, I would suggest it was a good burden for souls and for Christ, but it probably wasn't a burden to preach. Every new believer, every new young man, you know, every new young man, I would want you guys to consider whether God wants you to be a preacher or not. I think you ought to love Jesus Christ that much that you ought to be excited and think the best thing in the world would be, oh, that's all you do. And it may be what God ends up. So it doesn't surprise me. New believers, I sort of want that and expect that. And it doesn't mean that, you know, man, I must be a loser, new believer, if you haven't. But I want you to be that excited about the work, about souls, and that there's just nothing better. I tell people all the time, I got the best job in the world. But there is this thing. And I think about this. I think, well, I'm not allowed. So it's so weird, you know. I think about this. I'm like, I shouldn't be a preacher. And I don't know how to deal with it because there is a necessity. There is a woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I love our church. You let me preach the gospel. I love the gospel. I want us to be gospel-centric. It needs to be our priority. It needs to be our passion. It needs to be our love. If we get too far away from the gospel, we should close the doors. And enough on that. But let's just read verse 16 and 17. Oh, let me tell you verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. He's like, if it was of my will, I will have my reward. But he said, but if I do it against my will, you've got to understand, your stinking flesh will never want you to preach. So it has to be against your flesh, against your will. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. And he says this, this is what I believe 17 is saying, for if I do this thing willingly, like, I will do this, I have my reward. I think the reward of men. But if against my will, you see, this is a burden, this is a compulsion, this is a necessity, this is a woe. If it's a delightful woe, I want you to understand that. He says, a dispensation, a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, when I preach these things, I tell you this, I wasn't like, you know, I've heard people say this, the day that God called me, I've never doubted it. I've doubted it every other week. Okay, so I don't know. I'm like, I'm happy for you, man. I don't know. You got a Bible verse for that? Are you telling me I'm not a preacher? Maybe because I'm like, I don't know. So I'm not talking about, it's not overwhelming. It's just something that, it's so weird that I'm a preacher today because I don't have that kind of faith. And it does feel surreal to me. I'm not a guy that walks away from what I walked away from. And I'm not a great guy. I am not a great guy at all. I like money. And so I could have had a lot more money. But I have zero regrets. God, I think, just made a way. And here I am. I mean, when I walked out of Procter & Gamble that day, it was weird. I feel like I've never worked a day there. I can drive by the downtown facility, which I spent a lot of years at, and I feel like, I knew the guy that worked there. It was me. It is, so I want you to know this. If you're burdened to preach, to pastor, to whatever, missionary, it's not so. You just can't, you'll know. And it'll be good. And there'll be days you're like, I was wrong. I don't know. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that because I see these confident guys. I've never doubted. Well, great. I'm happy for you. But there is a necessity. There's a necessity. You want a man that if I preach one message, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its glory. I don't think you can preach the glory of the gospel in one message. Now, finally, the second priority of a preacher, and I'm almost done, is reaching the lost, whatever it takes. Honorably. You see, I put that, make sure you, honorably. I think we ought to have the Spirit, whatever it takes to reach the lost, honorably, with holiness, with Christ, never sacrificing the honor of Christ. Let's read verse 19. For though I be free from all men, Yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law. To them that are without the law, without the written law. So it would be, but the law is still written on their hearts. I don't want you to misunderstand that. To them that are without the law, in terms of writing and in their culture, it's gotten away from it. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul uses that term a lot, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Partaker of their fruit. Partaker of their blessings. You know, I want you to understand this. It is, be involved in the work, be pursuing the work, and you can be a partaker of the fruit, of the blessings that God gives Hope Baptist Church. He gives it through people's pursuits, but it's we do this as a body. I believe we'll be rewarded. There'll be rewards that'll be spread out so good. Imagine this, Vacation Bible School. Those that do the decorating, you won't receive the glory as much as Ron and Deb. Right? Teaching those classes, right? Nobody's going to go, wow, right where you put that banner is why that little kid right here got saved. Right? I love the care that you put that banner up. Right? I believe that banner makes a big deal right where it's at. I believe it makes a big deal that we do it with excellence. God will bless you. We serve the Lord together, not that any man is glorified, but that we all might be partakers together, right? I want to tell you, the people that clean the bathrooms, you guys do a great job. And I know it's more than just you, Rachel, but you're kind of the, I'm imagining, yes? It's this, fabulous. Let me just tell you, people wouldn't come back if we had stinky bathrooms, right? But are you, is it like, man, stall number two. Whoa, you guys, you need to come and look at stall number two over here. And it is just fabulous, right? I get way too much credit. It's God that should receive the glory. It's God that should receive the honor. Not the preacher. Not the anybody. We're all in this together. Let's be partakers thereof. Let's do the work of God. One final thing I want to show you that I think is of interest. He says this. And it's just a conviction of mine as I've been studying the passage. Look at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. This was a good verse for me just in recent time, just in weeks. I am a demanding guy. And I want to be that way in a good way, okay? Let's get with it. Right? That's kind of my personality. And sometimes I'm like, you're fired. I'm done. And I think there's a time for that. What I need to do, I need to remind myself, though I'm free from all men, I need to make myself a servant unto all men. I will never regret that when I go to heaven. And God convicted me about that. It is, yes, how can I serve you? Yes, how can I serve you? That's what Jesus does. When he washed their feet, he said, I'm doing this, and you'll know why. It's for your example. I'm not preaching that I have it all together. Not even close. But I'll tell you this. This is a great passage for me, but I think it's a great passage for you. By God's grace, let's be a body of Christ that is eaten up with Christ and his gospel. And that, let's just finish with this verse. Verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He's not the one that saves, but we are in the business of rescuing, are we not? We are. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Let's go at it. summer's not a time to take off. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy some freedom. Alberto came to me this morning. You got to love this 16-year-old young man. I'm done. He said, pray for me that I take advantage of the extra time that I have this summer and that I honor Christ. You know how much I wanted to turn him around and preach that to you guys because I needed it too. I said, will you pray for me too? That I would seek to make this summer a gospel summer for the cause of Christ. Let's pray.